chapter 82. In the name of Jesus, you will understand.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Eh? In the name of Jesus, put your hand on your head. And then put your hand on your heart and say the same thing. Hey. In Jesus' name. Eh? All right. As we go on, we're breaking the boundaries of the things that we can teach.
Amen.
So we're leaving the elementary principles and we're venturing into deeper things. Eh? Praise the Lord. Eh? And so you determine how deep your feet can touch or go into the river. Praise the Lord. Eh? That's why I've said you will. In Jesus' name. Eh? You know, there are mysteries in the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
There are things in the spiritual realm that are mysteries and secrets that you need to access in order to have an advantage.
Amen.
Praise the living God. Eh?
Amen.
It's what we endeavor to get you to understand, that there are people out there, Christians, who actually believe that the Bible is just a moral book. But it is more than a moral book. It is a spiritual book, and the spirituality of the book supersedes the morality.
Amen.
Even though the morality is important. Are you with me?
Yes.
It is a spiritual book and must be read and perceived as such. That's why the Bible says the letter kills and the spirit gives life.
Amen.
Okay? There are currently on earth ministers of the letter and ministers of the spirit. Just like there was a tree of knowledge of good and bad and a tree of life, there are ministers of the tree of knowledge of good and bad and ministers of the tree of life.
Amen.
Praise the living God. So in the spirit realm, there are things that are mysteries and secrets, and as you venture further in your relationship with God, you begin to have access to particular things that give you an advantage. I want you to imagine for a moment, as I set a foundation, before we go on the scripture that I, Psalms 82, eh? Before we go to Psalms 82, I want to set a foundation. I want you to imagine for a moment that someone has gone through medical school for how many years? Say 7 years, okay? The entire time, as they advance in their studies, they gain the skills and the discernment in the confines of medicine to be able to just look at someone and know the symptoms of a disease. You with me?
Yeah.
They've been trained naturally. They've gone to school, crammed in some areas, and passed until finally they are handed over and given the right to become doctors. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment that someone goes through those 7 years, graduates. I want you to imagine a lady goes through the 7 years and graduates and becomes a doctor and comes to her first day as a doctor in a particular hospital, and there's a person with a disease, and from the symptoms she can instantly, through the years of training, tell what the disease is. But on administering the cure, the medicine for it, after some time she realizes the disease is not going away as it's supposed to. It's at that point, after months and months of trying to find out a way, that medicine then says, we failed. And the reason, and this happens a lot, by the way, because someone can come before you as a doctor, they have a sickness whose symptoms are clearly something you've learned. Okay? And you try to treat it, but you don't know that there's a witch doctor somewhere who sent the disease. You get what I'm saying? And so, the source means that the natural cannot treat it. It's at that point the doctor realizes that while I have perfected the art of natural knowledge, yeah, while I've spent 7 years expanding my soul, I should have spent just as much time on my spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying? All right? This happened. We have some doctors here. All right? Praise the Lord. Eh? A man can access, if, let's say a medicine man, let me not use the word witch doctor. Someone might be uncomfortable with that. Let's say a medicine man, you go to him and you tell him that I want this job. Because for all the years that you've studied and got an A, you come into the marketplace and realize everyone else might have the same paper. You get what I'm saying? Then you start to realize that you might need an advantage. Now, some people seek for the advantage among the natural. So they go, Daddy, please, talk to your best friend you grew up with when you were young. So they use natural means. And sometimes the natural means fail. I can guarantee you, as you all know, that there are people who are in places of position through spiritual means. And so you go to this medicine man and he tells you, go mix water with milk and drink it. Now, you go home and just mix, just do it without, you go, you mix water with milk, drink it, nothing will happen to you. But when the medicine man tells you to do it, something happens. That means the process is not just natural. There is a mystery that was added to the ingredients of water and milk. You're getting me? In the spirit world, there are mysteries. I remember one time I was going somewhere and I was at the airport and I was sitting with two chaps who gave me an interesting story. They told me how there was a guy who works at the airport, who worked at the airport for 30 years. Nothing impressive about him. Absolutely nothing impressive. Didn't talk much, didn't have many friends. He was not qualified in many areas. He was qualified for the position he was at, but he was not qualified, you know, to be promoted. And yet, every after a few years, he was promoted. Now, what happened was that in his, over the years, he kept on being promoted. Now, it came to this final stage where there was a job that was so politically influenced that if you did not know someone, you couldn't get it. And so everyone knew that definitely this guy here was never going to get it. There were people who were closer to certain people in certain areas, if you know what I'm talking about, that definitely knew that they would get the job. Yours truly decides to apply for the job like everyone else. This is a true story. I found it very intriguing. So he applies for the job like everyone else, and something apparently hits the committee that is supposed to choose the next person. And they say, why don't we put this guy here? The underqualified guy, who never even cares whether he gets the job or not. And he was put there. Now, as usual, people were driven to jealousy. Now, these guys who are telling me are Christians. So I said, Rabbi, I realized that this guy must be using something more than the natural. But they didn't know how to prove it. For years, he sat in that office. There was a point even when a person of another position died and they gave him both positions. This is a true story. So he got two salaries, underqualified. He stayed in that position no matter which political figure came and tried to remove him. They couldn't. He retired, I think the year before last year, he retired. Now, here's the interesting thing. These guys tell me, we look through security feeds of the airport and they found a particular feed. At night, the man would come, drive, strip naked and run around the airport. True story. True story. Now for you, listen, that's a chap. First of all, I was so impressed. He knows that what he's going to do is going to yield a result. You understand? There is no doubt. Imagine you're running around the airport and someone finds you. But he knows exactly what is keeping him there. He has stepped into a mystery, even though it's of the dark world. Okay, are you with me? There is the excellence of all knowledge is spiritual knowledge. And the apex of all spiritual knowledge is the knowledge of God. Are you with me? The excellence of all knowledge is spiritual knowledge. And the apex of all spiritual knowledge is the knowledge of God. You get an advantage, and this is what we endeavor to get you to understand. Now, which brings me to Psalm 82. Say with me, I will understand.
I will understand.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Psalms 82. I'm going to read it. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. Verse 2. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Verse 3. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Go on. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. Verse 5. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Go on. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Verse 7. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Go back to verse 1. You will understand. Now, last week, I gave you an introduction of the five offices mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And we said, to some were given apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And last week, we emphasized that even though the fivefold existed in the New Testament, they were precursors in the Old Testament in relation to the three offices of the king, the priest, and the prophet. You with me so far?
Yes.
And I need you to understand that when God created Adam, all the three offices of king, priest, and prophet were in Adam. Adam was a king over the earth, all right? He was a priest in the sense that God would come and he would commune with him. But secondly, the garden or Eden was a temple. It was structured like a temple. So let me explain. There was the Garden of Eden where God would meet Adam. There was Eden where the Garden of Eden was. Then there was the rest of the planet, which symbolized or exemplified what you call the outer court, the inner, and the Holy of Holies. You with me?
Yes.
All right? So Adam was the priest of earth. Huh? But Adam was also a prophet in the sense that ideally he was supposed to commune with God and speak to the people on behalf of God. So Adam was a king, a priest, and a prophet. Are you with me? So there were the five offices in the New Testament, the three offices in the Old Testament. They're offices that existed in eternity. In heaven, just like there are civilizations on earth, there are spiritual civilizations. Those spiritual civilizations have dignitaries, royal individuals. Those dignitaries, in their various capacities, carry offices. For example, there is an office of an archangel. All right? We know according to scripture that in eternity, Lucifer occupied a number of offices. He was an archangel. He was a cherub. He was a seraph in the sense that he was close to the presence of God. He was a worship leader. He also had a priestly function. Ezekiel 28 verse 18, you will understand. Ezekiel 28, verse 18. Ezekiel 28, verse 18. What does it say? This is about Lucifer. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. You will go, you look at Genesis, Ezekiel 28, from verse 12 onwards, is talking about Lucifer. And here God is saying, you defiled thy sanctuaries. He had a priestly function. So he had almost... Let's say he had five offices that he occupied. Irrespective of the fact that he occupied five offices, he wanted another office. The Bible says, how thou art brought down, O Lucifer, son of the morning. And so he tried to occupy an office that was vacant temporarily. And if I've taught in the past, if you've been around, that that office that Lucifer tried to occupy was the office of the Christ, the office of the anointed one, that was only occupied after Jesus died and resurrected, whereby Peter, just before the people, when on Pentecost, Peter says, now, God has made him both Lord and Christ, now. So he was talking about Jesus rising, entering heaven, and in Psalms it says, sit here at my right hand. You with me? So at that point he occupies officially the office of the Christ. So that office was empty. Lucifer did not want to dethrone God, but he wanted to occupy the office. I've taught this. There's a message about that. Okay? Now, so there are dignitaries in the realm of the spirit. There's an office of the Christ. Lucifer had a number of offices. In heaven, in the realm of the spirit, according to, go back to the scripture I started with, Psalms 82. Psalm 82. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. Let me start by saying this. Listen to me carefully. There are only two times in scripture when God is standing. Only two. This is one of them. The second one is when Stephen is going to be stoned. And the Bible says he looks up and he sees Christ standing. Only two times in scripture. And in those two times, when God is standing, he stands first and foremost, it's explained in the scripture, he stands in the congregation of the mighty. That means when a group of people that scripture refers to as mightier before God, he stands. You with me? Secondly, he judgeth among the gods. God stands when he's going to judge. Praise the Lord. Now, there was an office in heaven. Lord. When Adam was created, many people don't understand that there's an office called the office of man. When Adam was created, he occupied that office. The office of man has two major laws that are attributed to it. The first law is found in Psalms 115 verse 16. Psalms chapter 115 and verse 16. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. That is a law. So when you stand in the office of man, the earth is yours. Now you hear me? Ideally, that is a law. What that means is that no matter how much a spirit longs to intervene, there must be a man that allows the spirit to manifest what it wants to manifest on earth. It's a law. The earth he has given to the children of men. Praise the Lord. Okay? So, Adam occupied that office. The second law tied to that office is in Luke chapter 18, I believe it's verse 1. Luke 18 and verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them, this is Jesus, to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That is a law. Now look at them. They're saying, hey man, I'm not praying. No, that's not what I'm saying. Yeah? I pray you're with me. Adam occupied an office. That office is tied to the fact that as long as the earth endures, God has given the earth to men. Then secondly, in order for God or any spirit to intervene, men ought always to pray. Because prayer is the action by which a spirit gets access to manifest on earth. All right? Praise the Lord. When a man is running around an airport naked, you're just seeing an activity that originated from an encounter with the Spirit. You're with me? Praise the living God.
Amen.
Okay, so man occupies an office, the office of man. Listen to me carefully. In the Bible, there is a statement when someone stands in the gap. I'm going to read the scripture actually. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 20. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse actually 30, I think. Thank you, Lord. Okay, this is what it says. Oh, I got it wrong. It says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Now, this is a statement God is making. He says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. I'm trying to explain to you that because a spirit cannot intervene without a man, it's the reason after Adam fell, before the fall, he occupied a gap in the heavens that allowed communication between spirit and earth. When he fell, there was a void. That gap was empty. It's the reason why throughout scripture, God is looking for a man. You're with me? That's why this scripture now comes. And I sought for a man among them, you, that should make up the hedge. I don't have time to do that. But the hedge is a protection. And it says, and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. Unfortunately, he says, but I found none. That's what he says there. Now, throughout, from the time Adam fell, specific men on different occasions filled that gap. The first group that we see is Seth and Enos. Genesis chapter 4 verse 26. I'm really trying to build to the place that I want to get. Genesis 4:26. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. That means these guys were the instigators of men to call upon the name of the Lord. After these ones, then there came specific men. Amongst them, for example, is Enoch. Each occupied an office prophet, but they were priestly in action. They were standing in a gap. You with me? Continuously, Noah stood in a gap. Now, I need to explain something. There was a decree that was given to Adam when he was created. I've taught some people here that Adam, when he was created in Genesis chapter 1, Genesis 1 happens in the spirit realm. Genesis 2 happens physically. And so in Genesis 1, God says, let there be, let there be. Then he says, let us make man in our image. Then he gives man dominion. He tells, be fruitful, multiply, take dominion over the earth. That is a decree given to spirit man. In Genesis chapter 2, that spirit man is put inside the physical. Okay? The decree is never repeated in Genesis chapter 2. Okay, you will understand. So, the decree of be fruitful, multiply, and dominate is given to a spirit man. Now, I was explaining to someone yesterday that because the decree was given to a spirit man and not a born-again man, Bill Gates can dominate. Because he has the spirit, unless, of course, he's not. Okay, we'll leave that. So, it's the reason why particular men, irrespective of their positions, in relation to their relationship with Christ. As long as you have a spirit, you have the capacity to dominate. But what makes a Christian different is what Jesus said. He said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loosen on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now what he's saying is that a man who's only natural can dominate natural things. But to dominate spirit, you must have the spirit of God. Are you getting it? Okay, we're making progress. Progress, eh? Making progress. Okay? So, Adam is given that decree. Then he falls. He's a pioneer of a race. The earth is destroyed by a flood, and Noah is given the same decree. God tells him, be fruitful, multiply, take dominion over the earth. The same thing he told Adam. But you see, Noah in his wisdom now knows that the earth is a fallen earth. You're with me? So when he's given that decree, the first thing he does, Genesis 8:20, is build an altar unto God. Now I'm trying to say something. We're trying to get somewhere. He is standing in a gap. You with me? Yeah. Genesis 8:20. Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings unto God. Noah took clean beasts and every clean fowl and offered them unto God. Please understand that Noah existed before Moses. And the distinguishing of clean and unclean happens at the time of Moses. Oh my God. So God tells him, these are the unclean, don't eat. These are the clean, eat. That happens Moses years later. But here, a man standing in the office of a prophet as well as a priest gets a revelation before his time of what exactly is clean and unclean. Now, I need you to get this. When the world fell, some animals maintained their original stature. There are some that did not. For example, the snake is not the same snake. You with me? The mosquito was not always like that. It's the one thing I'm praying Noah would have just squeezed those two things together. Okay. So, the mosquito was not what it is. The lion was not what it is. They fall in the category of unclean. Oh, Lord. I wish I had time to go into this into detail. To the extent that you need to understand that God in his wisdom, in Genesis chapter 7, after Noah comes out of the ark, tells him that before, actually, the animals were divided into two categories, those who have been around. Someone said, the animals went by two, by two. No, they weren't just by two, by two. Scripture says the unclean went in twos. And the clean, Genesis 7 verse 1, went in by sevens. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee I have seen righteous before me in this generation. Verse 2, and it says, and of every clean beast thou shalt take thee by sevens, and of the beasts that are not clean by two. Musome Bible. Anyway, of course some of you have been around, I've said this before. So, he goes with them, he goes with the clean and unclean, long before Moses. Because there was something that happened to the DNA of some creatures after the fall. Ay-ya-ya-ya-ya-ya. To man, the spirit died. That death spread and affected different animals differently, different creatures, different plants. Okay, I have to get to what I'm going to. We shall talk about Noah some other time. So Noah, yes, stands in an office. He's a priest. He stands in a gap. Throughout history, in the Bible, men begin to stand in those gaps. Which takes me back to Psalms chapter 82. Again, verse 1. You will listen to this over and over until you get it. Huh? God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. The gods he's referring to here are not gods that people build. They are spirits of men. I'm going to prove it to you. John 10:35. Jesus said, John 10:35. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. This is the Son of God speaking. And he's referring to human beings. He said, God called them gods. So, in this scripture, Psalms 82 verse 1, God judges among the gods. Now, hear me carefully as I'm explaining that over time as men fell and as sin began to pile on, God chose specific men, like I said in Ezekiel. He looks around for a man who can stand in the gap. When he finds one, that man in the territory that he's in, he represents the territory in a council. Manange. So, there are people, due to their relationship with God, when they stand in a gap for a territory, they appear before God, whether you believe it, because it is scripture. In the Bible, there are various scenes of courtroom sessions in heaven. There's a courtroom that happens, there's a scenario of it when Abraham is talking to God and trying to save Lot down those ends. Huh? There's a discussion constantly. Abraham is discussing with God as God as judge. It's a courtroom session that is going on. Not all men can do that. When you say all men are the same, listen to me carefully. Lot in the Bible is referred to as the righteous Lot. But he was about to become collateral damage. Are you with me? Even though he loves God and is righteous, there's a height of interaction, secrets he had not access to, that even if he loves God and God loves him, he was just going to be collateral. It happens even today. Yeah. There are people, by virtue of their intimacy with God, that certain things can never touch them. They are privy to certain moves of God. When the Bible says, I do nothing without first revealing it to my servants, the prophets. So I've had some New Testament ministers declare that, you know, all of us, God is saying, people quote that scripture as if, for you, how many things have happened without anything being revealed to you? You're a child of God, you're a child of God. That's not what that scripture means. It's talking about guys of rank and hierarchy. And you can be that. And I'm pushing somewhere. Okay? People of rank and hierarchy. So Abraham had that interaction with God. And because of Abraham, Lot is saved. Notice in scripture, Lot never finds out that he's saved because of Abraham. Let me tell you the fact. There are people who have encounters because someone else has prayed for them. Let me give you a scenario. That's why I say all men are not the same. There's a story I had of Rick Joyner. I was telling someone. Rick Joyner gave an example of an experience he had. He had an encounter where Jesus walked into the room and he began to talk to Jesus. And the things that Christ said were mysterious and they needed discernment and unlocking. After the encounter, he spent days trying to figure out, what did this mean? What did this mean? What did this mean? Then he said the Lord told him, there's a prophet called Bob Jones. He told him, go to Bob Jones. He will explain to you the encounter. When he went to Bob Jones, he realized that Bob Jones and God had discussed whether he was ready for the encounter. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so in that discussion, Lord is saying, so Bob, do you think we should give Rick an encounter? And he says, yeah, go ahead. Now, I want you to imagine there are people out there who have encounters of the Spirit and think they've arrived, not knowing that it's possible a man was involved in the access you have of a particular encounter. I'm going to use scripture. I'm going to use scripture. Are you getting what I'm saying? Not all men are the same. We know that for a fact. Abraham is no Lot. Even though Lot is righteous. So there's a courtroom session that Abraham has. There's a courtroom session in the book of Job. I don't know how to go into that. There are courtroom sessions in Zechariah. The book of Zechariah. Zechariah the prophet is taken to heaven and sees Joshua the high priest next to the altar, the Bible says. Now you notice, I wish I had time to... Zechariah is in the spirit as a prophet, sees Joshua the high priest dressed in dirty rags, and the devil is accusing Joshua the high priest. But what most people don't seem to understand is that what's happening there is absolutely miraculous. Because while Zechariah is in the spirit in heaven, seeing this, Joshua the high priest is on earth, clueless. His spirit is, you know, the Bible says you are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. His spirit is right there. He's being accused. Probably has no clue. And the Lord says, remove his dirty rags and replace them with righteousness. And on earth is... So there's a courtroom session there. There are many courtroom sessions in the Bible. I don't want to go through all of them. So when you understand that, you begin to realize, it brings me back to what I was saying. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. Now this scripture is key because verse 2, go to verse 2. The whole chapter is key. God is now speaking. He says, how will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Verse 3. Defend the poor, fatherless. So he begins to list things. Verse 1, God is not speaking. Verse 2, he now speaks. He has just called men who had authority and rank and called them to heaven for a meeting. You with me? That's what's happening here. Then he says, how long will you judge unjustly? Now those men, by virtue, let me tell you, when a person prays beyond themselves, their territory increases. When a person prays for, say, the city, in the spirit, you represent the city. I don't know. So if you're praying for Uganda, in heaven, a man, by virtue of standing in the gap, is not Daniel. He is Uganda. That's why there was a name given to a person who stands in an office where he stands in the gap. That name was Son of Man. Daniel gets that name. Daniel chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel. So he's hearing a voice, and someone, a man's voice, tells Gabriel to go and make him understand the vision. You with me? Verse 17. So he came near, Gabriel comes near, where I stood. When he came, I was afraid and I fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man. Daniel is praying for an entire Israel that is in bondage. And he's given the title son. It's an office. Another person who's given that name is Ezekiel, son of man. Jesus is also given that office, son of man. Something that a man occupies when he begins to pray past himself. In the spirit, he represents that territory. And so he can appear before a council. We're getting somewhere. And Daniel has this encounter. This is the first time he's seeing Gabriel. Someone tells him, Gabriel! It's the first time he's seeing him. In Daniel 9, go to Daniel 9. Start from verse 20. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin, you see, standing in a gap, and the sin of my people, and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of God, verse 21. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Verse 22. And he says, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. It's important you get what's happening here. That Daniel is praying for a nation. Then all of a sudden, the angel that he had seen before, initially he didn't know its name. Now he knows. You grow in encounters. So he knows the name. Initially, Angel Gabriel calls him Son of Man. Now he calls him by name. You can grow a relationship with the Spirit. Okay? So he grows that relationship. And here, The Bible says that Angel Gabriel tells him, I have come to give this skill and understanding. Now here's what messed me up. Go to verse 2 of that same chapter. Daniel 9:2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years. So he has gained understanding by studying. And he studies, and according to the Spirit, he actually qualifies by studying books, he's just reading through the Bible, no scriptures. Huh? He gains understanding. But then he reaches a place where a spirit comes and says, I've come to give you understanding. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, there are people out there, there are levels of revelation, secrets, access, encounters impart knowledge. This is why, which brings me to this, you know, I was sitting with a lady the other day, gave me a powerful testimony. And I was explaining, she was saying, Rabbi, when I enter the office because of my testimony, people see me walking, they say, Lava Katonda, Katonda uyo. Huh? You see God walking. You see God. That's the thing where you've transitioned away from just talking. And God has taken you through an experience. Now when you sit down, it's like this. Let me give you an example. If someone goes to medicine school, medical school, finishes, and says she's a gynecologist, when someone is about to give birth, she'll sit before the person and say, this is what's going to happen, this is what you're going to need to do, this is what it is, and you will say all that. And by the fact that she has been trained, all the information she will give you will fill your mind. But if a lady, that very same lady, went to a grandmother who has given birth to 7 children, there would be no medical jargon. But the advice gives carries weight. Are you getting what I'm saying? Why? Because while this one is a gynecologist and might not have given birth, the information she's giving is strictly from past notes and things people have gone through, but she has never gone through it herself. But the day you go to a grandmother and says, my daughter, sit down. And just begins to talk. No matter how simple the words are, they carry weight. Because experience adds weight to the words that you speak. That's why it is important to understand that we don't preach the gospel for the sake of preaching it. We desire God to take us. What you see when God has dealt with a man are the experiences of that man, the seasons of that man. So when you say, man of God, impart upon me your anointing. Do you know what you're saying? Do you know what you're saying? You should have thought about it clearly. And that's why men who are grown in the Spirit, when they impart knowledge, they impart an anointing, they impart it in degrees. Because if it was to give you the whole thing. Huh? Now notice, Daniel has encounters of the angelic, not because of Daniel, but because he's standing in a gap. And so the encounters that a nation would have had, one man representing the nation has them. Go back to Psalms 82. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. There are people even currently on earth who are quote-unquote gods. Ideally, it was supposed to be all of us. Ideally. But there are men and women who stand in the gap. And this is why I encourage you that if you ever want to expand in territory, it's impossible to do without an excessive prayer life. You can't dilly-dally around. Here God is meeting people of rank. And what is happening there is, unfortunately, these guys, when they appear before God, they weren't doing their job here. And so God begins to rebuke them. Verse 2, he begins to rebuke them. How long will you judge unjustly and accept their things he expected them to do, but they did not do it, standing in the authority that he has given them? Do you know that their men, as they get close to God, God bestows upon them title Son of Man, and they represent God on earth. Now, ideally, all of us, we're ambassadors. But hear what I'm saying. The Bible says that Moses was like God before Pharaoh. In other words, God didn't need to come intervene. I've sent Moses. I forget what I'm saying. So, you know, some of you, if you've gone through situations and you've gone through and come out with a testimony and you're telling someone about it, because this lady was telling me this testimony, a Muslim came to her and said, when you pray, what words do you say? And now, you guys, you know, when you've been through something, your neighbors look at you and you're the very example of failure. Then your life miraculously turns and they come and they ask, when you pray, help me, what words do you say? A Muslim. Then you say, first, come, sit down, let me tell you about Jesus. That is a man who has had an actual encounter. Encounters have levels. They're first at a natural level. Then as they grow, spirits come. There is a lot when you've been taken through the train of life. When you stand to speak, you're not just saying things for the sake of saying them. Right now on earth, there are ministers speaking scripture simply. I'm just quoting. Just quoting. Each and every word. The challenge of us as children of God is to press in. Press in. I had a friend who was praying for, he told me the other day, I was praying for, the Lord was telling me to pray for China last year. And every time I woke up, I asked myself, I have problems here in Uganda. And you're telling me to pray for China? No. And so later when the coronavirus came, he said, oh, this is the reason why. At that time, he couldn't understand why. And so we were discussing it and said, often as a man is growing, God will begin to put burdens that are beyond them. And ideally what scripture says is that, seek ye first the kingdom and all these other things are added unto you. I've seen people who are literally walking testimonies, where people are like, Lava Katonda. Huh? Well, you know, because she was telling me, there's a fellowship. Imagine, someone tells you, there's a fellowship at office. And as they were praying, they says, Lord, remember us like you did, Jemima. Now, interesting, because people quarrel. And they say, how can you say the God of this person? Huh? How can you say the God of this person? This is our God, is the same God. But they don't know without saying it. When you see someone's testimony and you tell God, like that one, you're actually referring to their God. You're referring to their God, their experience. Because listen, you've had God all this time. Nothing. And you see, this is why I say, I love to hang around people with testimony. This person who had this experience, they will testify. It was a crazy, out of this world. I almost teared. Because I've been with this person when things were bad. You know, when someone comes, Rabbi, did I do something to God? And you're like, even you don't. And you know, God can block. You try to look into the person's life, you can't see what the issue is. But then he has appointed a day of visitation. And the person's life in a day changes. And you ask yourself, I'm asking, so what did you do? Says, I just, You know, people who tell God, Lord, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. And you're here. I know many of you, You're here. You've forgotten me. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. I'm showing beef. But when you see, that's where altars are built. Do you know how Noah built an altar? You have an encounter, you build an altar there, and you never forget it. One of the biggest keys to spiritual warfare is access to secrets, especially through encounters. Through encounters. I've been with people, someone gets a job underqualified. And before they were in the congregation, we were saying, you can get a job without being qualified. Amen. But when it happens to them, Rabbi, these things actually happen. Because that's what this person is saying. I believe in your God now. Hey, you mean all these years in fellowship? Process. But all I can assure you is that if I was to tell you my story, how far I've come. Huh? How far I've come. When I used to walk into the house and my dad would tell me, you're wasting time preaching. Which woman will marry you? You guys don't know. Huh? Women marry men who have money. You're going to a preaching, and I would go down into those and space off with guys with demons, what? And come back late at night. And every night I would come, my shoe was worn out. Huh? The shoe was worn out because I was walking. I would walk, there are times I'd have 500. There's a ministry I used to minister at. I would have 1K, use that 1K because I was supposed to minister. And I would go, then ask for a ride back. And as I'm getting the ride back, I'd say, Lord, Remember me, Lord. I walk into the house at 9 p.m. after having sacrificed my time in the presence of God. And they tell me, come, sit down. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I'll say, that chair, it's mine. That TV you're watching, it's mine. You have nothing. And it would pierce. And I remember the time, I've said it before. Can I just give my testimony and we close? Eh? There was a time I was so beaten up, I almost gave up with God. And I've said it here, that I stood in a room, no one knew, no, I was in my room alone. I told God, I'm done with this Christianity thing. And in a space of about 5 minutes, I felt an embrace I've never felt in my life. In 5 minutes, I had changed. I said, I'll never leave you. 5 minutes. 1 minute, you know, from one extreme to the other. But I was going through a lot. I used to go, then men I would be. You know, scripture says in Ecclesiastes 10:7, it says, there are servants who are on horse and princes who are walking. I used to go to see men of God, actual gifted men of God ministering. And you see the guy after the session, he says, I'm back to transport. I would say, but God, is this the person that we serve? You're a majestic God. You own cattle on 1,000 hills. I used to preach, there's someone I used to love sharing, that God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, but God does not eat meat. So who's the cattle for? And I used to preach it after that, I would say, I would walk. Walk. Praise the Lord. And one of the biggest fears I had when I was in my room was, what if nothing ever changes? It was one of the biggest fears in my heart. And it catches most of us. It's how the devil lies to us. What if I'm in this position forever? I waited to invite my dad to my house. I'm telling you, when I invited him, he was outside the gate, cold. There's a gate I'm seeing here, but... Now listen, I need to test it. There's a gate I'm seeing here. Are you near, around? I said, no, that's the gate. Enter. This one. That one, enter. Do you know what it means? Where... And I'll never forget that day, because I've told partners this. I'll never forget that day. My dad came home. He's only been there once. He came with family members. Usually, as when we join together as a family, he gives the last word. He turned and said, Daniel, talk to us. Hey! I spoke. This is my testimony. I spoke for 15 minutes. I said, I want to give you what they call the testimony of God. And I turned to that, I said, remember when you told me I had no chair? And I wasn't trying to, I said, remember. And he just looked at me and said, he says, now you're sitting in my chair. Praise the living God. Amen. Your testimony is not yet complete. Amen. Praise the living God. I know what it means to have a wand. I didn't even know that when I was ministering, ladies were paying attention to the fact that my... Hey, ladies, eh? Because, you know, I would walk very fast to the pulpit. You walk like this. Praise the Lord. But they were paying attention to my what? One of them is actually in here. Told me, Rabbi, you're a sign that God works. Because there was a shoe. Huh? Praise the Lord. The angels of the Lord are here. Huh? And God is doing a mighty work. There's a place near my house where I used to stay with my parents. I would get out of the house because at that time I had had no job. If I'd given you a testimony, my boss fired me and told me the Lord has called you to what? Full-time ministry. At least you would have given me compensation. Huh? Anyway, so it would hurt to go to dad and say, can I have transport? Where are you going? I'm going to preach. Huh? Going to preach. And I remember I used to get out of the house early just to give the impression that I'm doing something. You understand? And I would go to a nearby hotel, sit, order a soda of 1K. I would tell God, remember me. Remember me. You know, recently, whenever I drive to Ntinda, I pass by. I like to pass by, just enter. I say, thank you, Lord. I see the chair. The chair is still the same chair. Thank you, Lord. I used to sit there and say, Lord, remember me. Remember me. My cousins would get married. My brothers were getting married. My sisters were getting married. You go, you attend, you're the one contributing. But even when you contribute, you know, they first wait for the guys who can contribute big ones. Then someone says, what about Daniel? They say, Daniel, what are you contributing? You fear to say, you say, I'll contribute after. Then you come with your 1,000, but it's sacrificial. And you put it there, and you say, one day, I will give more than this 1,000. I drank Coca-Cola, as I'm telling you. I would sit in a place alone. The lady at that particular kafunda got so used to seeing me. And she, one time she asked me, what do you do? I said, I just preach. I just preach. Kwe, I want you to imagine, from 2,000 something, I have to finish, eh? From 2,000 something, eh? Huh? When I finished campus, I left the house in 2017. All that time, constant, but Daniel, always preaching. But Daniel, what's wrong with you? Go look for a job. The number of times I applied for jobs. Do you know there's a time I got a job at Nile Breweries? I said, Jesus. When I pass, because I stayed outside, when I pass, I say, thank you, Jesus. I was supposed to be, you know, sales. You jump on the truck and say, who wants? Who wants? And people in the area, you know, you've gone for missions in the area. I say, man of God. When you draw the line between selling beer and being a man of God? Can you imagine? And my parents told me, you're taking this job, take it. The Lord has given it to you. How much are they paying you? 20,000 per day for the whole day of sales. I said, Lord, this cannot be my life. And you sit back and you think, even if I was to get a girlfriend, at what point in life will I get married? Because when you go for the wedding budgets, those wedding meetings, they show you the budget. Even if they don't show it down there, you calculate. You start 3 million, 4 million, and say, ah! That's why some men don't want to propose. The day I encountered my spiritual father is the day I realized that God can take nothing, spirit, supernaturally, and in a go, overturn it. It was because of my testimony, without preaching. I had preached to my brothers for years. My brother walked into this fellowship here. He had never gone to fellowship. Came to sit to find out, what is it that I do that has risen me so high? What is it? An unbeliever. They said, I'm coming. I want to find out. And when he sat, After he told me, yes, you preached, but I still don't get it. And I told him, if you can't figure it out, it's God. If someone can figure out where your testimony came from, God was not in it. I said, God! And so someone sits, they see you ministering, they see me ministering, and they say, who is Rabbi? You know what I've... Do you know how far I've come? Do you know the friends I've lost? Just for the sake of ensuring I had an encounter with a God who works. And I said, whether I lose a friend or family member, I will be true to the path that you have set me. And you need to have the same mindset. We were not born coming out with golden spoons in our mouth. Golden spoons. I'll say this finally. There was a cousin of mine, up to now still an unbeliever. He used to mock. Say, you're praying day and night. In fact, yeah, have a 50,000. Mock. And you know, I would want to refuse the 50, but I need it. Yeah. You get what I'm saying? I need it. I need to accept the 50. And at the same time, I'm saying, my God works. And I say, okay, first give me the 50. That's what you refer to as the testimony of God. So I want you to understand, you are here, that often the minister that you sit under, the process that they've gone through, if they're standing at a point of victory, they're a sign of where you should be. Because I know many of you who are still in your parents' homes. I know some of you who are struggling financially, some of you even walk here. I know it. Just to get food on the table. Someone else is taking it for granted. You go in the dustbin, you find chicken. Chicken out there. But may God raise you up. If there's one prayer that I have, that the same thing that God has done for me, that he might do it for you. You will get married. By the time I got married in 2018, a majority of my friends had got married. A majority of them. And you see, it was easy for me to say, Lord, I'm being left behind. Where are you? Where are you? But the day he came through, the day that he came through, those very same friends say, eh? Where the glory that was at your thing? And someone else thinks that you just, it's because he's a man of God. We were taken through process. What you see is a person who God has dealt with. And so when I say, like I said last week, that worry died in me, I've gone through situations of worry. Huh? Where you're in a house, you've moved in, you've just told your parents you're moving out, you moved in, and you've paid 3 months miraculously, but you're already thinking about the fourth. Mukama sent engenda zijawa. And then you come for fellowship and there's 7 people. I had to die to minister's offering. I had to die to it. My young brother came to me during lockdown and said, there's no fellowship. Is it rent going to be a problem? I said, watch and see. I said, have I stopped paying rent? I haven't stopped paying rent. Because long ago, I determined in my heart that it is God who provides.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with a distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.